Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Ion Exchange India Limited Q4 FY23 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Anuj Sonpal from Valorem Advisors. Thank you, and over to you.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone, and a very warm welcome to you all. My name is Anuj Sonpal from Valorem Advisors. We represent the investor relations of Ion Exchange India Limited. On behalf of the company, I'd like to thank you all for participating in the company's earnings call for the fourth quarter and financial year ending 2023. Before we begin, let me mention a short cautionary statement. Some of the statements made in today's earnings call may be forward-looking in nature. Such forward-looking statements are subject to risks and uncertainties which could cause actual results to differ from those anticipated. Such statements are based on management's beliefs as well as assumptions made by and information currently available to management. Audiences are cautioned not to place any undue reliance on these forward-looking statements in making any investment decisions. The purpose of today's earnings call is purely to educate and bring awareness about the company's fundamental business and financial quarter under review. Let me now introduce you to the management participating with us in today's earnings call and hand it over to them for opening remarks. We have with us Mr. Aankur Patni, Executive Director, Mr. Vasant Naik, Group Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. N.M. Ranadive, Group Head of Financial Planning and Risk Management, and Mr. Milind Puranik, Company Secretary. Without any further delay, I request Mr. Vasant Naik to start with his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Anuj. Good afternoon, everybody. It is a pleasure to welcome you to the earnings conference call for the fourth quarter and the financial year ended 2023. For the fourth quarter under review on a consolidated basis, the company reported operating income of INR 6,475 million, an increase of around 30% year-on-year and 26% quarter-on-quarter. EBITDA reported was INR 1,064 million, representing an increase of around 12% year-on-year and 70% quarter-on-quarter. EBITDA margins stood at 16.43%, and net profit was INR 812 million, a decrease of around 2% year-on-year, but an increase of 70% quarter-on-quarter, while the PAT margin was in the region of around 12.5%. For the financial year 2023, on a consolidated basis, the operating income stood at 19,896 million, an increase of around 26% year-on-year. The EBITDA stood at INR 2,550 million, an increase of around 20% year-on-year, and the EBITDA margin was reported at 12.82%. Profit after tax stood at 1,950 million, an increase of around 21% on a year-on-year basis, and the PAT margin was reported at 9.8%. Let me now take you through the quarterly segmental performance on a consolidated basis. In the engineering division, the revenue for the quarter was INR 4,526 million, an increase of 41% year-on-year. The EBIT for this segment was INR 560 crores, a decrease of 23.5% year-on-year. While the execution of the Sri Lanka order remains significantly affected, the company's discussion among all the stakeholders are moving in a positive direction, and we are hopeful of the project closure in FY24. The execution of the UP Jal Nigam project is progressing satisfactorily, and revenue has been recognized based on the work completion. The execution of the other engineering orders picked up pace during the quarter on the back of the increased order flows and the high order backlog. The company continues to invest in engineering infrastructure, including manpower, to enhance its execution capabilities for handling the increased order backlog. The company during the quarter also witnessed steady order flows both in the domestic and the international market. Moving to the chemical division, the revenue for the quarter was INR 1,640 million, which increased by 8.25% year-on-year. The EBIT was INR 482 million, an increase of 40% year-on-year. The sales in the domestic segment continued to record steady growth, while the export volumes remained muted. The segment witnessed improved margins aided by stability in the input cost and improved volumes of higher margin product lines. The third segment, the consumer division segment, the revenue for the quarter was INR 515 million, an increase of 21% year-on-year. The loss for the quarter was INR 7 million versus 16 million loss in the same period of the previous year. This segment continues to record healthy top-line growth. With this, we can now open the floor for the question and answer session.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question comes from the line of Sameer Palod from AUM Fund Advisors LLP. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Am I audible? Hello?
Yes, you are. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi. Thank you for the opportunity. If you can just tell us a little bit about what is going on the engineering business, which has seen very good sales growth during the quarter compared to the same quarter last year, but the EBIT margins have gone down by more than 10 percentage points. So a little bit of color on what is going on in that business, what kind of work you've executed, and why the margins have dipped so dramatically during the quarter.
We've broadly done significantly larger amount of business during the quarter. However, there were a few factors which have contributed to this slight dip in the overall margin percentages. The key reason is that we've had the typical way in which the orders get executed, we tend to be a little bit cautious towards the way the margins are recognized. And as the contract progresses, our estimates on cost to completion of a project keep getting revised. So there would be some contracts which would have been in an initial period of execution, and we would hope to see slightly better margins as we go forward. That's one thing. The second aspect is that we do have a lot of infrastructure and capability which we are building up on our engineering businesses to build up for the upcoming invoicing, which is going to be a substantial increase over what we have managed to do in the past. So there is a little expenditure on that front, which has got accounted. And there would always be some variation because of the composition of projects or the project mix which gets executed during a particular quarter. So there's no real cause of worry there. We should be able to keep delivering a good growth and reasonably good margin in the period coming forward.
Sorry, sir, I asked this question because, same quarter last year, the EBIT margins were almost 22%, and this quarter is down to 12%. So if you were to look at this business on a slightly longer term basis, what is a reasonable EBIT margin to assume for the engineering business on a more sort of steady state basis, ignoring the quarter to quarter variations?
Look at the kind of order book that we carry today and also the scale at which we hope to be executing orders in future. We we should be seeing an improvement over what we have achieved in the current year.
Okay, and this would you say that even in your bid pipeline of about 8,000 odd crores, you're bidding with those sorts of EBIT margins, which will be higher than what you've achieved in the current year?
Yes, the EBIT margins are also a function of the scale at which we operate, and that is why we see quarter-to-quarter variations, because the scale of operation in different quarters tends to be different. But if you look at margins on individual contracts, they tend to be slightly better, and we do expect that as these inquiries offers mature into orders, we should be able to maintain or better the EBIT margins which we have currently reporting.
And the bid pipeline, sir, would consist mostly of projects like the Jal Nigams of the various states, like the one that you have for UP and Delhi. Would it be a similar types of bids that you are making?
No, it's a good mix of industrial PSU projects, and the municipal or infrastructure projects would be relatively lesser.
Okay, thank you for that. I'll jump back into the queue. Thanks.
Yeah.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Akshat Mehta from Sameeksha Capital. Please go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
So my question was on the working capital side. You know, what is the reason that, you know, our receivables have gone up and your payables have come down sharply during the year?
Your question is on working capital. Did I understand it right?
Yeah. So I was asking the reason why our receivables have gone up and payables have come down, sharply during the year.
Well, I'll ask Vasant to respond to that.
We had a disproportionate high invoicing in the month of March. That was the reason why the receivables have gone up sharply in that period, as of March 23.
Okay. And payables?
Payables also, the overall levels of payable have gone up, if you really see.
As a percentage of sales, if you see on even number of days, payables have gone down sharply by around 20 days. So why is that? Because that is affecting your working capital, efficiency overall.
No, but I think we were also carrying a large amount of inventory during the quarter, and much of the invoicing happened during the quarter end, so that has slightly distorted the working capital position. But if you see in the first quarter of 2023-24, the working capital position should get normalized, because then all the financial indicators in the current assets and liabilities would have got evened out. So we don't foresee much of a issue in the working capital cycle.
So you were saying that we can maintain the cycle that we had in FY22, correct? FY23 is a bit of a year-end optical abnormality. FY22 we can maintain, right?
Yeah, we should be able to normalize the working capital cycle in FY23-24.
Okay. Secondly, if you can give a number on what is the kind of advance that we've received during the year from our customers, and any color on order inflows that you've seen coming in for next year?
The total advances which are outstanding in the books as of March end are in the region of around 200 crores.
200 crores.
Yeah.
And any color on order inflows for the next year that you're seeing?
Hello.
Hello.
Can you please come again on the second part of this question?
I was asking if you can give some color on the order inflows that you are seeing for the next year.
As we discussed in the first part of the first question in the con call, the total inquiry bank is around 8,124 crores. So, I mean, it is a very healthy order of a bank, and we are hopeful that we should be in a position to have the same level of order inflow what we have seen in the current year of 22-23.
Thank you. Mr. Mehta, we request that you return to the question queue for follow-up questions. Next question comes from the line of Pratik Kotari from Unique Portfolio Managers. Please go ahead. And also, please restrict yourself to two questions. Thank you.
Sure. Hi, good afternoon, and thank you for the opportunity. So my first question on the engineering side, we, for the last 2-3 quarters, we have been speaking about that we are kind of investing in our infra, in our manpower to execute much larger orders or much larger pace of execution going forward. And this is quite reflected in the numbers. Like 3 years back, our order book used to be 1,000 crores. It's at 3,500 crores right now, but the execution is not up to the mark. So can you just talk about what kind of preparations have we made? What can this lead to maybe 2-3 years out?
Well, in terms of the capability enhancement, there has been significant investments in our ability to execute projects, but also on the manpower and other related infrastructure. So our ability to manage a project, our ability to execute in terms of equipments, machineries, fabrications, etc. So everything needs to go hand in hand and is very much now geared to handle the level of invoicing that we expect in the coming period. As you rightly pointed out, 3,400 odd crores of order book, which of which a good portion will get executed during FY 23-24, and therefore the level of execution capability needed to be much higher. In fact, when I answered the first question as to the impact of these costs on our margins, so it has had a bearing on the way our margins have got reflected on.
Fair enough, sure. And so a couple of clarifications. One, what would be our UP execution for this year? And second, just to clarify to your earlier comment, you did say that in quarter four, we completed a few orders and we have not recognized the margins to which we should, being conservative, etc., and hence the lower margins?
No, that's not what I meant. See, customarily, we when we look at forecasting the costs of or the cost to completion for major projects, it always tends to be conservative towards the beginning of the contract. And then these get revised as the contract progresses. So there would be a few contracts, a few large contracts, which are still at a relatively early stage of execution. And hence, we would tend to be conservative when we estimate the cost of completion.
Fair enough. So my last question is on the chemicals. One, we announced that we have started this exhibition at Roha. So just wanted to clarify, this is a scene that we were waiting an environment clearance on. And also there was some article which spoke about we putting up a chemical facility in Orissa. So if you can just clarify regarding the same.
Yes, Roha is the one for which we were waiting for the environmental clearance. We have received that in the last quarter. And the construction work has commenced on the plant. We expect that the plant will be operational by FY 25-26. Regarding the investment in Orissa, yes, there is another backward integration project which is planned there.
So any more color? What kind of capex, what products, what would you be doing there?
Still at a relatively early stage. I will certainly give more information in the next call.
Fair enough. Thank you and all the best, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Dhruv Rathore from Solidarity Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good afternoon, sir. So my first question was related to your engineering division. I just wanted to understand what is the red line while looking out for EPC contracts, as there have been instances where players have burnt money here by taking the wrong projects.
That's right. EPC business tends to be a little tricky because it gives a large quantum of revenue, but it does come up with risks which needs to be managed. In terms of the type of risks, one is to do with how aggressively that you would bid for the contract, and we tend to be relatively conservative. We don't want to put our balance sheet and the bottom line at risk. So that's one area where we are very careful. The other, of course, is an execution risk where we see that there are challenges, whether it is geopolitical or anything else, which we expect to face when we are executing the contract. We are also very careful about the payment terms that we get, careful about the kind of customer that we are talking about, whether we will get paid in time. I mean, there are numerous parameters which we take into account when we consider which contracts to bid and which not to. And this is what has led to a slightly conservative progress towards higher number, because we would rather be safe than sorry. And that sort of being the defining line for us.
Got it. In your chemical business, what is the expectations for growth? Like, what is exactly changing in that particular business? So initially your growth was not that strong, but now the expectation for growth is increasing. So how is it changing a lot?
You're saying expectation of growth?
No, so the performance in the chemical business has been improving. So what is changing exactly in your chemical business?
Well, the chemical business has been progressing quite nicely over the last few years. The top-line growth has been fueled both by improvements in the domestic market and in the international market, as also our continuous effort to improve the product mix. We keep striving to weed out underperforming product lines and to add more and more of value-added products to our portfolio. That has helped in not just keeping the top-line growth in pace, but also to provide an additional fillip to the bottom line. About a couple of years back, we faced quite a bit of a challenge when there were sudden spikes in commodity prices across the globe. And there were also supply chain challenges of various nature, which fortunately we have not encountered during the last year. And we had stability in commodity prices as well as relatively certain supply chain and exchange rate scenarios. The challenge continues to be the geopolitical situation, which we know in some parts of the globe still affects the market. If all things remain as they are, and we continue to have a stable scenario on all these fronts, we should be able to maintain the margins that we have seen.
Got it. Just a final question. So you are still actually making losses on the consumer business. So what are your plans exactly, and what needs to change in this particular business for it to improve?
Yes, we have not turned around in the consumer business as we continue to invest for future growth. We could potentially have reported just about a break even, but we have incurred a good amount of expenditure during the last two quarters as we ramp up the capabilities of this segment for future growth. There has also been significant expenditure on marketing, which has gone up during the year. All of this has contributed to the bottom line, which is slightly shy of a break-even, but we will continue to see good growth in the segment, and hopefully we would be much better off as far as the bottom line is concerned in the next year.
Got it. Thank you so much for your answer.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Mahesh Pendure from LIC Mutual Funds. Please go ahead.
Sir, given the current order book and the business outlook you mentioned, I mean, what kind of growth we are possibly looking for our water business and chemical business in the current year?
Our order book is extremely strong, and I would dare say that a good portion of that order book would need to get executed in the current year. And therefore, the prospects for the current year are quite good. I would desist from giving out exact number guidance as of now. I will certainly give it after the first quarter is over. But as of now, I would just say that we expect significant growth in the current year as far as the engineering business is concerned. On the chemical segment, we should continue to grow at a reasonable pace. Last year, we've done roughly around 11% growth. We should be able to deliver a better number if the geopolitical situation in Europe and the Americas improves further. And we do hope that the export numbers would start ramping up again. If those things fall in line, our chemical segment should also grow at a good pace.
Okay, sure. And sir, what is the capital expenditure plan for next 2 years?
We have the Roha project, which is the resin manufacturing expansion. That project would have roughly around 400 crores of investments. And apart from the Roha project, we should be looking at around 60 crores in FY 23-24.
So cumulative will be some 500 crores plus over the next 2 years.
Over the next 2 years, yes, more than 500 crores.
Sure. Thank you. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Srishti Jain from Niveshaay. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hello.
Yes, go ahead, please.
So thank you for the opportunity. So we're seeing huge desalination plans coming from countries like Saudi Arabia, Egypt, or Africa. Are we looking for some opportunities there? And for this quarter, like our exposure, the percentage of sales has also decreased. So what can be the expected run rate moving forward for that?
Sorry, your voice was not very clear to me. I understood that you were asking about potential of getting engineering contracts, including desalination from the export market. Is that right?
Right.
Yes, we are actively working on a few projects, which means we are executing a few projects of the nature in Africa and in the Middle East. And we continue to look at more and more prospects, and certainly of a larger size.
So exports have decreased significantly as of this quarter. So if you can give any number to that.
You're saying exports has decreased over the year?
So this quarter as a percentage of revenue.
As a percentage of revenue, you say?
Yes.
I think for the year as a whole, our engineering exports have done quite well. If I exclude the Sri Lanka project, which you all know is for the moment going at a very slow pace, if I exclude the impact of the Sri Lanka project, exports have grown by a very healthy margin. I think it could have more than doubled, Vasant, engineering exports.
Yeah, excluding Sri Lanka, yes.
So we are doing pretty well on engineering exports, and we should continue to do well. The next year should also see a further growth on top of this number.
Thank you, sir. And sir, for the current order book and bid pipeline, can you give breakup between municipal and industrial orders?
Industrial and municipal.
Yes.
For the order book, you said, right?
Yes.
Industrial would be roughly around 65% odd.
Okay. Thank you, sir. That would be all.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Rahil Shah from Crown Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Good afternoon.
Good
afternoon. Yes. My question was again on the... So you said you're not giving exact guidance, but I just wanted to ask, do you see an improvement in FY24 from here on in terms of top line and EBITDA margins, especially the EBITDA margins which have dropped on a console level?
I do expect a significant growth on the top line. We spoke about the order book that we carry and the expectations of further conversions of the inquiry bank that we have. So the prospects for top line growth remains pretty good. We also outlined the various reasons why the bottom line or the margin percentages have behaved in the way that they have. I would expect that if things remain in the channel of stability, we should be seeing an improvement here.
Okay. And you mentioned the 500 odd crores of capex for the next 2 years. How are you planning to fund it?
How are we planning to fund it?
Yes, the capex.
Well, a portion of it would come from our internal accruals, and we have already established conversation with the lenders who would be in a position to fund it. And we are pretty confident of getting whatever external funding that is required.
All right, all right. And which which division you feel will be a key driver in FY24? I'm sorry if it's a repeated one, but...
You're saying which division would be a key driver for the CAPEX?
No, for the growth in FY24. So where are you seeing the most promising?
Engineering has by far been the largest segment, and it would continue to be the largest segment in the coming year also.
Okay, sir. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Sanjay Kumar from iThought Financial Consulting. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. First, just a clarification on the recent CapEx. I was going through the EC document. It says CapEx of 400 crores. And in today's call, you mentioned CapEx of 500 crores in the next 2 years. So are we doing both phase one and phase two back-to-back? If you could give the timeline for the recent CapEx.
I said the reasons CAPEX would be 400 crores around, and there are other CAPEX which are apart from the Raisin plant. For the next 2 years, they would add up to more than 100 crores. So that's how the figure goes to more than 500.
Okay. So we'll be doing both phases in the next 2 years?
No, no.
Okay. Can you give...
I'll again repeat my answer. The Raisin project is 400 crores, and there are other CAPEX which are planned in other works of the company, other segments of the company, and these CAPEX would add up to more than 100 crores over the next 2 years. So it is Raisin project continues to be around 400 crores.
Got it. And can you give the realization for the resins on average? Sorry, in IndiaMart, I'm seeing a range from 100 rupees per kg to even 250. And what is the application of these resins for which we are putting up CAPEX? The EC report says end use is water treatment, or is it across the board and the capacity is kind of fungible?
I'll try to repeat your question to make sure that I understood it. You want to know what is the kind of applications that resins are used for, and the
specifically
kind of
for this CAPEX.
Specifically for this CAPEX.
Right.
The resin applications tend to be pretty wide. For most parts, it is used in water treatment, but the resin applications would also be in non-water kind of areas. It is used in purification of various things, including beverages. It's used in pharma. It is used in extraction of chemicals from certain stream of ethylene. So the applications of resin tends to be very wide, and depending upon the chemistry and the application and the complexity of the specific product involved, the prices of the product and also the margins vary.
Okay. And what would be the realization, sir, per kg realization? On average, rough figures will help in calculate the potential revenue.
They vary very widely. And if you're trying to assess the kind of revenue that this CAPEX is going to bring in, out of this CAPEX of 400, a little over 100 and 125 thereabouts is for a backward integration project, which is integrated with the resin plant. So if I exclude the impact of that, we should get an asset turnover roughly around 2x.
2x.
Roughly 2x.
Okay.
So excluding the backward integration of 125, the project cost for the resin would be roughly around 275. So we are talking 2x of that.
Oh, got it, sir. And what is driving this CAPEX? Because Thermax is also talking about a CAPEX in 18 months. is there a ready import substitution opportunity, or are we gaining market share from global players in exports? If you could give us a sense of why you're putting up this huge capex, given a competitor is also putting up capex.
Our exchange would have roughly a 40% market share in the Indian market, and the Indian market continues to grow. Apart from that, in the international market, our market share would be a very small number, maybe around a 2% kind of a figure. So the headroom for growth in the international market is phenomenal. And that is what we would tap into. We have got in the past quite good response from the international market. And we are sure that as we bring this capacity on board, we would be able to quickly get more share in the international market.
It's predominantly for exports. So just one final request, sir. I don't know if you have gone through the investor presentation of Vabag. They give very detailed information like breakup of municipal, industrial, breakup of geography, segment-wise, not just for revenue, they give for order intake and order book. They also list the key orders received and the order intake figures every quarter. So if you could give that, that will be very helpful. And in terms of our order book and bid pipeline, can you give the breakup in terms of desalination, ETP, STP, and drinking water so that we could judge our forte of within these four and how do we compete with Vabag?
Well, that's not a breakup that we typically provide. I can tell you that as far as industrial versus municipal is concerned, our order book would be roughly 65% in favor of industry. And as far as domestic versus international is concerned, we would be roughly around 85% domestic.
Okay, and the in terms of water versus diesel or ETP, do we have an upper hand in any of these segments, or does Vabag have upper hand in diesel, for example?
I'm not getting into a competitive analysis, I'm sorry, at this time, but I can tell you that we continue to do well on all product lines. We do not have a very strong presence, and somewhat by choice, in the municipal segment. And that is where some of our competitors may be showing higher numbers.
Got it. Thanks. Thank you a lot. That's it from my side.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Mahesh Agarwal from Agarwal Family Office. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hi. Am I audible? Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Ankur. Congratulations on a good set of numbers to you and the team. I wanted to take a step back and understand something at a bit more high level. So if you look at the ion exchange resins product that we have, want to understand how our prices compare to Chinese manufacturers who sort of, you know, dominate, I think, around close to 40% of the market share. And then vis-a-vis that, what is the risk of dumping by these players ever in India? And if there's any import duties in place of that sort to protect against any kind of actions by Chinese players?
Well, in order to answer that question, let me give you a perspective of how a typical large user of resins would go about selecting the right product. He would not just look at price. He would also look at the quality of the products, the kind of support and service that one would provide, and also the extent to which our products have been proven for the application that he is using it for. So in a typical scenario where resins are used for a critical or a semi-critical operation, they would not go in for something which is not very well proven. So that's one. Two is Chinese manufacturers of resins have been in the market for now a lot of years, a long number of years, and they have tried to position themselves not just in the international market, but also in the Indian market. We've managed with that scenario reasonably well till now, and we hope that we would be able to continue with our strategies and be able to maintain market share in the domestic market. As far as the international market is concerned, the Chinese have been, in a way, cost leaders for some time, but their costs have undergone an increase over the last few years because of increased degree of compliance with environmental laws and other such concerns which have been thrown up by a lot of their customers. So their costs are now at a much more higher level compared to what they were earlier. We managed to compete quite well with them on all fronts, including quality, cost, and otherwise. So we hope that we will be able to scale our market shares in the international market also.
Understood. And sorry, just to understand a bit more on that, would we be within, say, 10% or so broadly of prices of the Chinese guys, just to understand where we as a country stand today relative to their kind of cost curve?
It depends upon product to product. There would always be differences, and they would position themselves at a higher or lower level as far as cost is concerned, depending upon the customer, the geography which they're addressing, etc. In some cases, they may be higher price than us. In some cases, they could be marginally lower. And the price difference could be 10% odd in some circumstances, but it's not always true.
Got it. And then are there any import duties in place on our key products to protect from any kind of dumping scenario?
Yes, the government does protect us through various means and measures. I won't say that they completely put an embargo on them, but it does provide a reasonable degree of protection. But I would ask Vasant to clarify on the exact import duty which is there on resin specifically.
Ankur, I need to check, quite frankly. But to my mind, there is no sort of protectionist import duty on the import of resin.
There's no dumping, anti-dumping kind of a provision.
No.
Understood. Got it. That could be something worth exploring and, just keeping back of our mind in case that scenario ever pops up. And then, Ankur, if you could just share the same kind of understanding for our wastewater treatment chemicals and the membrane aspect as well, how we kind of stack up there vis-a-vis Chinese or other global players.
Well, I would say that the same summary applies very much to almost all the product lines, both with respect to the domestic consumers and the international consumers. Membranes, of course, we have just started. We are quite new in the field, and we are already running at more than 90% capacity utilization for our membrane plant. We have just expanded capacity, which will double our capacity, and I am expecting that we will use up this additional capacity within the next couple of years. We've already got our plans ready for further expansion. So membrane growth should happen at a very, very rapid pace for us. We should be able to garner further market share in India as well as abroad.
Understood. And just a last final up on this, if you could give us a sense of what percentage of chemicals is exported today, and then also what is kind of the right to win or what is driving more export demand for us? Is the China Plus One that we're seeing play out in other industries also playing out for us where there is a move to just procuring from India due to quality, service, price, or whatever other reasons?
A share of exports in chemicals would be roughly around 25% this year. As far as what's driving the exports, China plus one was, I think, a consideration for a couple of years or slightly more. But once we've got our foot in and the customers have experienced our products and our services, especially our ability to look at their issues and their problems and solve it in a meticulous manner. And further to these two aspects, the reliability of our company as a supplier, all of these factors have aided further expansion into the international customer mind space. And I would believe that as time goes by, the stickiness of these customers would be quite strong.
Understood. Got that's all from my side. Thank you so much. And good luck on the new Portugal subsidy integration as well. We're looking forward to that.
Yes, we're just going through the final phases of that company, and we do expect that those entities will start showing substantial contribution in the coming year.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Saket Kapoor from Kapoor and Company. Please go ahead.
Yeah, namaskar sir, and thank you for the opportunity. Firstly, sir, you mentioned about that 125 crore backward integration that goes into the 400 crore capex. So, if you could explain much more about what sort of backward integration will come into play, and what would be the exact payback from this 125 crore?
And what exactly this 125 crores backward integration is, I'm afraid I wouldn't be able to give you too much of detail on that. But it is targeted towards improvement in the cost profile of the product, as well as to increasing the plant efficiency. I think overall we are expecting a payback for this project in space of roughly around 4 years.
And when you mentioned about 500 crore capex, that includes also the Odisha one, which is on the drawing board, or that would be a separate project?
No, Odisha project is not included in this 500 crores.
And for the other income part, I think so, this year the other income, when comparison to last year, are on the similar line. But we have booked it in separate quarters, so that has also resulted in this in the reporting numbers being different. So if you could explain the nature of other income appearance in last year fourth quarter, it was 21 crore, and this year it is 5.5 crore. So if you could explain the nature and what should be the trajectory going ahead in terms of this other income part. And sir, in the employee benefit expenses, you did mention that we are preparing ourselves for execution, higher execution, scale of execution. So does that commensurate with this increasing the employee cost, or is it the higher execution we have done in the engineering segment because of which the employee costs have also gone up?
Let me address your question on other income first. During this last quarter, we had some exchange loss as against an exchange gain which happened in the previous year's fourth quarter. So that's a significant swing which is causing a lot of difference in the overall number. As far as employee costs is concerned, typically get a pay increase every year. So that's a nominal and normal increase, which would in any case happen. Further to that, we have expanded manpower in various fronts. Engineering has certainly seen a substantial addition to manpower. There has also been addition to manpower in our consumer segment and other segments. So overall, the company is preparing and getting itself ready for a higher scale of operation and ensuring that the growth trajectory is maintained.
Sir, if we look at the, just continuation to it, if we look at the percentage of employee cost to the sales revenue, is that a correct way to look at it? Because that would give an understanding whether when we start booking, executing order in a disproportionate way, then this percentage would look lower. So can you give us some understanding for this quarter? It is closer to 10%, the employee benefit expenses.
Yes, this number would vary depending upon how much of revenue we've been able to capitalize based on the additional manpower. If the manpower is a recent addition and the revenues would take a little bit time to fructify, the percentages would get skewed a little bit. And that is what would happen in a period where we are adding substantial capabilities, especially for executing larger scale of projects in the coming period, the revenues for which have not yet come.
Correct. And one small point also on the UP Jal Nigam project. What was the total size of the project, and in percentage terms, sir, what portion of the project will get executed for this year?
You're asking about the Sri Lanka project?
No, I'm asking from the Uttar Pradesh Jal Nigam project. What was the total size of the project when we were awarded, and what portion of it would be executed for this year?
During the current year?
Yes, the current year. Current year execution, executable revenue that we will be garnering from this project.
During the current year, the invoicing is a little less than 200, I think it's around 190 crores. The total value of the contract is 1,200 crores.
Okay.
That's the estimated contract value.
And for FY24, are we going to, the execution will be done for this financial year, or will it roll over to the next year also?
We should be completing a major portion of or majority of this contract by FY23-24, and there will be a small spillover into FY24-25.
And does this contract have any O&M part also, sir? Wherein we will be garnering post the execution any revenue for an extended period, or it is totally an execution based on this?
Yes, O&M is there. It's a 10-year O&M after this.
Thank you. Mr. Kapoor, we request that you return to the question queue for follow-up questions. Next question comes from the line of Akshat Mehta from Sameeksha Capital Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Thanks again. I just want to ask you, if I understand correctly, you said that in the chemical segment, this quarter has been seen very good margins because there has been, on account of the product mix, higher margin products have sold more during the quarter. Going forward, let's say for the next year, how do you see the margins being in the chemical segment? Will it be around 24-25% itself, or it can be higher?
Well, we have seen sequential improvements in the margins and are quite hopeful of meeting the FY levels achieved in 2022-23. However, it is contingent upon continued stability in commodity prices and stability in supply chain, exchange rate, as well as also the geopolitical situation for the European market. If it remains stable, then we should be able to, maintain the margins.
So maintain a full year margin of 26% or quarter four margin of 30%? Full year margin, right?
Yeah, I'm talking about the full year margin.
Okay. And I also wanted to understand, in terms of the new Portugal, acquisition that you've done for Maple, can you provide some color on, what is the kind of synergies that will come in? How do you see the top line and the bottom line going for that company in the next couple of years or so, broad color?
Well, we should be able to look at a reasonably good growth coming in from the European market. Still early days for me to give you a number projection. We have obviously got our numbers internally, but I wouldn't want to yet put it out as a guidance. We would like to do probably around a quarter or so later. However, I can give you a broad indication that we should be able to generate significant multiples of our acquisition. Right.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Pratik Kothari from Unique Portfolio Manager. Please go ahead.
Thank you again. One question to understand that thinking and a strategy. Earlier for the region plants are the capex outlay was 200 to 50 crores and we're adding about 100, 125 crores of backward. Orissa, we plan to do some backward integration there. So just why so much focus on backward integration? What are we thinking? How are we thinking?
Backward integration does give us significant cost advantage, Pratik, and we are looking at improving our overall paybacks for the investments which we are making fresh, which is in Roha, as also for the investments which we already have and the product lines which are already in existence. So they would bring in an extra quantum of margins. As I said, that on an overall basis, with the advantage or benefit of the integrated project, we should see a payback of roughly 4 years for our Roha project.
All of this, the materials or the base product that we were consuming to manufacture the region, were this all imported maybe from China and that is where we are doing this?
So the products which we use for manufacturing resins, we do have a significant amount of imported content, but these are more commodities in nature. We have spoken about the key component of resins being styrene, which we can source both internationally as well as in the domestic market. But this particular project that we are talking about is not intended to be for styrene.
Okay. Fair enough. And, someone, we consolidated two of our subsidiaries this year within ourselves, GCSL and IEWML. For this year?
Sorry, Pratik, I couldn't get your question very clearly.
Sure. So my question was, we consolidated two of our wholly owned subsidiaries within IEXchange this year, and we were on a path to kind of simplify the corporate structure. So if you can highlight, are there more subsidiaries that we plan to consolidate this year?
We are looking at total of three subsidiaries getting merged into an exchange during the course of the coming period, and we would look at more possibility as after we complete this particular thing.
Great, and thank you again.
Yes, please.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraints, that was the last question for today. We have reached the end of question and answer session. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. N.M. Vandeve from Ion Exchange India Limited for closing comments.
Thank you all for participating in this earnings con call. I hope we have been able to answer your queries questions satisfactorily. If you have any further questions or would like to know more about the company, we would be happy to be of assistance. We are very thankful to all our investors who stood by us and also had confidence in the company's growth plan and focus. And with this, I wish everyone a great evening. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Ion Exchange India Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.